What's up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And today we have a pretty interesting podcast for you. A lot of good content to talk about. But before we do that, we'd like to share a little bit of what we did this week because you know what? There's really nothing going on for the most part. And since everyone's in the house, it's nice to hear about things that people are doing while they're in the house. So, figured we would talk about some things that we've done. For me recently, I've been watching a lot of anime, and I finished watching the anime Parasite. I'm late on this, but I heard it was good. It's on Netflix. Netflix is snagging up like a lot of different anime right now. And so I was like, yeah, I will check it out. And it was interesting. I liked most of it. For those who don't know, the show is basically about these parasites that come to Earth, or I don't know if they're already on Earth or not. They don't really tell you, but they come and they take over people's minds, similar to like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And you basically become this hybrid, parasitical thing where the top part of their body is basically the parasite, and the bottom half is the human portion. But when they get taken over, they die, and so it's just a parasite from that point going forward. And they're very cold and calculating, and think of it like the Terminator from the second film, the liquid guy, basically like that all the time. And they can morph their body to kind of these big blades and stuff come out of their face and stuff to like chop people up, and they eat humans, and they're also learning, like they can learn. Like they read books in like seconds and they get all the information, but it's just information to them. They use it to like blend in, but they don't really have emotions until later in the show. And the main character, he is attacked by one of the parasites, but instead of getting to his brain, it gets to his hand and it basically controls his hand. And through that, they kind of reconcile a bunch of things in terms of like who the parasites are and their role when it comes to, opposite of humans. And there's this whole like it's very heady at some point. Like there's a lot of philosophical things that are thrown around, but beyond that there's like horror and gore and things of that nature. And so I was watching it, and like I said, I liked most of it. Even the way it ends is pretty solid. I had a problem with the female or the women in the show. Not all of them. A lot of the, I guess the people that were friends with the main protagonist, because he's in high school, they were very much, I don't know, they were flawed. They were very clingy to him, in a think like Korean drama way, but like in a way that's like mad toxic. Like I think Korean, that's a whole nother thing to talk about.
It's a harem style show.
Yeah, but it's like, you know what? At least in like, some of those other ones that are, that eventually came to Toonami and everything, were toned down in the sense that they kind of revolve around him, but they're not, and then you have a few love interests, but they're not so much so that they put themselves in weird predicaments. Like for instance, one character is following him all the time, and when he gets, I guess, to be, because he merges with his parasite more, and so there's times where he's just really cold and standoffish, and it's to the point where it's affecting her negatively, but yet she still has to go see him. And I'm like, you could just not, you could just go away. Like, you don't
Just
have to.
do your nails, girl. Go like get a pedi.
Because it wasn't like, I mean, they were kind of friends, but they weren't lifelong friends where she needed to check up on him all the time. But she was always, like, she missed school and, rode on the bus to, like, way out of town to go see this dude. And because he was getting into all this other stuff because he knew about the parasites and he couldn't share with anyone. And it's like, if this was anybody else, it would be like, you're kind of a stalker at this point. Like the women turned into stalkers. Like one person could actually sense him, like sense where he was in the world and find him. Like it got really bad. And as they go on, I'm not gonna, spoil it, but it was like there were times where I was watching and I was like, really? Like this is really there's you couldn't date nobody else, like so aside from that, it's a solid anime. You should definitely check it out. on Netflix. If you and oh, what's really cool is that it's one season and done. It's not a
Yay.
yeah, it's not an ongoing thing. Similar to the show that we talked about last week, Japan Sinks 2020. It's a one and done type of thing. I think that Japan Sinks is better, personally.
Yeah, I would say so.
Even though it's harder to sit through, I do think Japan Sinks is better. But Parasite is different. It's not something that I expected. I thought it was gonna be more of an action-y type show, and there is action, but not in what you would think. So I watched that and caught up on some other shows. Boruto is actually getting good, so.
Oh God, that's a possibility. I just didn't think that it had a possibility of getting good.
It goes in waves. It gets really good, and then there's a lot of filler, and then they do some weird stuff, and then it gets good
Is this
again.
filler? Is it considered filler? I thought they weren't even mangaizing it.
Well, no, they did. They did.
Well,
The
yeah.
manga's better. It's quicker because there's no filler, but even some of the episodes that aren't filler feel like filler because we're repeating steps that we did with Naruto a little bit, and I think that's a little bit of a crutch. It makes it seem like it's I don't want to say lazy because it takes a ton of skill, it takes a ton of patience to actually write all this stuff and get it out the way you want, and the payoff is usually huge. So I'm not going to say lazy, but it feels really reminiscent of Naruto, and they didn't have to do that. Maybe early on, sure, but now no. But it is getting good. One Piece is getting really good. One Piece's story is wrapping. And I believe the creator said he's going to be wrapping it up in the next few years, which is amazing.
Wait. I'm sorry. I just need to say something. Because when you say wrapping up in the next few years, now a normal person would be like, wrapping up in the next few years, like what, the next 4 or 5 years? That doesn't sound like a wrap up. You know, wrap up, you typically say, oh, it's ending this season. But what I can say is for One Piece, since it's been going on for 100 years, saying it's going to end in the next few years is like, oh my God, that's so soon.
Exactly. It's like for people don't
Nonsense.
know, we had 900 and some episodes of this show, and to be fun, to be like, so you understand what that means in terms of anime, that's actually not the longest running show in Japan. Like they have shows that are in the thousands and are still going strong. Like I don't see any end, and it's not, and some of them aren't shows like if you think of like old cartoons like G.I. Joe's or My Little Pony, where you don't have to follow each episode, you could just kind of watch and jump in and
Yeah.
jump out. No, these are all like you need to see episode 335 before you see episode 336. You have to. So, yeah, hearing him say that is great. And so, a lot of the stuff that's coming out story-wise is really interesting on that front. And then also, I saw. I think I talked about this last week. I finished The Seven Deadly Sins, and a
Okay.
whole bunch of tea has been spilled in that show. It ended horribly. I did say that last week, but
Yeah.
I can't wait for that. So that basically anime. I've been animated out this past week. How about
Yeah.
yourself?
I'm not. I well, I mean, I haven't been watching anything because I've been at work. Like, my
That's
life is just,
good.
I mean, yeah, I guess, but my job sucks. So, yeah, I've just been at work, at work, at work, at work. And dealing with people's complaints, dealing with people's complaints, and dealing with some people that might be idiots that I work with. That's honestly been my week. I'm just so exhausted. So I had a day off today and I slept. And I haven't really been feeling well either. I don't have corona. I know I said this last week, and I know I have to always give a disclaimer every week that I don't have corona, which the truth is, I wouldn't know because it's not like I got a test or anything like that.
Right.
But I honestly haven't been feeling well, but not like, not, oh, like I have a cold, I have a flu or something. My throat's bothering me, but my throat's also been bothering me since February. So, you know, we can just chalk that up to a broken vocal cord, I guess. I don't know. Again,
Or
haven't been to
allergies.
it. Or allergies, you know, because I this is the first year in my entire life where I've clearly had allergies for 8 months straight. It doesn't make any sense. It's never happened before. I've never gone through this ever. Like, I mean, I get allergies 4 times a year, but I don't just get allergies from February to August nonstop. Like,
that doesn't happen. So this is kind of bullshit. That's one. Second, now I've just been getting really nauseous lately, and I think I can chalk it up to A, my anti-ADD medicine, A, and then B, the real thing I think that's making me nauseous is my mask. Like, I'm not, look, all these people out here who are complaining about wearing a mask for an hour, complaining about wearing a mask to go into a store, all you guys, screw you, okay? Screw you. I'm not even going to talk about, you know, the doctors and the people working in healthcare who have to wear a mask all freaking day. No, and they're wearing N95 masks, which really are not comfortable, because I've worn the KN95 mask, and those things are not the easiest to breathe out of, for real, for real.
Right.
So I do feel bad for them, but I'm in a mask all day because I'm in a public setting. We are all required to wear masks all day at work. All right. So I don't know what situations other people are in, but I am in a mask for 10 hours a day, and it feels horrible. So anybody complaining about going to the store, oh, I have to wear a mask at the store, and you're in a mask for 30, 45 minutes, screw you. I don't care about your feelings at all.
I mean, especially, sorry to cut you off, but like, especially when the fact that we could have been done already. Like, there's other countries that are done because they actually, you know, follow the rules and quarantine themselves. And, you know, not even the countries that are, you know, kind of have like a dictatorship going, but like just other countries, period, who are like, you know what, we'll forego getting a haircut, we'll deal with wearing masks, we'll deal with all this stuff if it means that we get to get out of this sooner. And so the people who are complaining, it's like, well, if you just would have did it the first time, we wouldn't be going through phase two with a bunch of new cases spiking all the time.
Exactly. Now, on the other hand, I've totally been not social distancing. Well, first of all, I work, so I'm not social distancing, guys. It's just not happening because I work. And I'm in front of people. Like, seriously, we're not 6 feet apart. It just is the way it is. This is how my job works. So it's just not possible. I'm showing apartments to people. I'm in an elevator with people. I'm not social distancing. It just can't happen. The only way to social distance is if everybody in the goddamn building stayed in their goddamn apartments, and if nobody came to look at apartments, and that would be it. That's the end of it. That's the only way to social distance. Then I can't even social distance from my coworkers. Remember, I was working in a pharmacy. And did you think that we were standing 6 feet apart? How? How do you do that? How? Because it's not like we were slowing the flow of customers coming to pick up their medication. No, we're all in the pharmacy on top of each other. If there was three of us in the pharmacy, we're on top of each other. Do you think that they blew out walls and made pharmacies bigger? No. So, yeah, there's a crap ton of people who don't have the ability to be apart from people, and I'm one of them. But secondly, my boss decided to have a surprise birthday party. He didn't know. One of his coworkers threw it for him, and my old boss, we all used to be in a band with each other, so we had a surprise birthday party, and we got the band back together, and so we had a block party, basically. I think I mentioned that last week, didn't I?
No.
Well, whatever. So we had a block party, and I'm calling it a block party because a bunch of neighbors, like, kind of showed up, so everybody has to wear their mask, and, you know, there's lawn chairs, and it's all outside. It's not like we're inside or anything. And, you know, people are kind of like standing across the street watching and dancing to the music that we're playing.
Good.
You know, I'm the lead singer of the band and all. And then we did it again this past Sunday. So we're like, all right, every 2 weeks until it gets cold outside and nobody's gotten sick yet. So we're just like, well, you know, at least we're outside and everybody's standing apart from each other. So, and
that's
so,
good.
And so my birthday is on the 29th. So he was like, okay, let's go ahead and have your birthday party on the 30th. So he's like, invite your friends. And, you know, the neighborhood will come back out and listen to us play and sing, and we'll have some food there. And that'll be the tea.
That's nice. So what, you turn it 20?
Yeah, something like that. Sure. I don't mind doing that again. Yeah.
Sure. No, that's cool, though. That's cool. And everyone's – I saw – I forget what country it was, but I saw they had an open concert outside where they made these metal, like, lifts that and, like, platforms that everyone – so, like, it was, like, a few seats for, like, a family. And those actual platforms each were 6 feet apart. And then they had, like, a bunch of them. And so they were able to have an outdoors concert where people were still being, you know, they were still distanced from each other. Similar to
Yeah.
the Chappelle, you know, thing.
Yeah.
And that was pretty dope. Like I honestly I think concerts should be that way anyways, 'cause like
Yeah.
there's leg room, you're outside, and
Exactly.
as long as the sound system and the weather's great, I mean, yeah. I mean, I can understand if it's summertime, those metal rises will probably get kind of hot. But aside from that, if you don't cook, yeah, I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a, you know, a good
Yeah.
time.
It's pretty good time. Yeah. I'm with it. And I also think that they should just incorporate like fans at these type of events, you know, just fans. Just to blow the air around, you know, if the wind isn't blowing strong, just blow the air around so anybody's droplets can just be like kind of like dissipated.
I hope that works, how that works.
It does. No, you know why I know this? Because first of all, when everybody was out protesting and people didn't get sick from the protests,
Well, yeah.
they've been doing a lot of work, a lot of research. And anybody who's been coming in who's testing positive, who's been getting sick and is actually going to the hospital, they're like, yeah, they are not getting it from protests. They're getting it
Well,
because they went to bars.
yeah, well, people were masked
So,
up.
yeah. So it's really kind of proving that, you know, being outside, as long as you're masked and you're kind of, I mean, that's kind of like the idea. If you wear your mask, which really does protect you. I mean, it works. As long as you're not wearing those ones, because they just did some research and published it recently, just a few days ago, they're saying that those like neck coverings, the ones that people are using, they're like, oh, you can run in these.
Oh,
Whatever the
yeah.
material is, I guess it's like similar to the workout material or something. They're saying that those are bad. They said that those are worse than wearing a mask. Oh, where they said they're worse than not wearing a mask at all.
Interesting. I have to look that up. Granted, I'm not
Yeah.
doing any working out at the moment, so that's not going to matter too much. But, you know, if I were to think about running somewhere, I would probably look that up to make sure that I was okay when I went to the mailbox. So yeah, so today's show we wanted to talk about a couple of things. The biggest thing is talking about the first episode of the hit HBO show I May Destroy You. But before we do that, we want to talk about a couple of different things. Some things that we heard, or not heard, that sounds bad. Things that we read and learned about online with certain individuals, and another HBO show, Lovecraft Country. I saw Lovecraft Country after it aired. I didn't get to see it that right when everybody was, so I kind of missed the buzz. But I was like, you know what? I'm really interested, and the story sounded really cool, so let me check it out. So I got to see the first episode, and it's really well acted. The writing is really good, and it's one of the I don't know if it's a pilot episode, but it's one of the best early episodes I've seen because it kind of gives you everything you need to know where this show is gonna go. Like you don't understand like the mystery that's involved, but they set you on the path to where you can say, is this show for me? Is it not for me? Interesting enough, they do this thing with, you know, because it's set in a certain time period and there's racist people, and that was that. Well, yeah, it's that's kind of a thing with us. And but it's not done in a way that's like, it's not a slavery film, you know, in the sense where we have to see ourselves suffer a lot. It's not on that end. However, there are moments where the tension is high, and it has nothing to do with the monsters. It has everything to do with the racist characters. So, you know, kind of prep yourself for that, especially with in today's climate. That said, they do a really good job with dialogue. They do the acting is great. I like majority of the characters that are on screen, and I like how the cast is diverse in the sense that there are like dark-skinned black people, light-skinned black people, and everything in between. In terms of like the casting, which is really great, and yeah, it's so far it's cool. The only thing that I that didn't gel 100% with me, and I think I know why this is, was because of the music. They go from music that would have been released in that era, and then they also play music that's released nowadays. And yeah, that there's times where that like a hard-hitting hip-hop song would hit, and I'm like, this doesn't really work. But I think the idea is to get across the mood while also tethering people to today, in the sense that these people are racist and these things still happen. Like, for instance, there's the idea of like sundown towns, where if you were black, you wanted to make sure you were out of those towns by sundown. While they're not huge anymore, there are still places that you do not want to be when the sun goes down. And so having music that kind of represents that time and now kind of puts you in that place where it's like, oh, this is something that hasn't changed as much as we would hope. And I don't know if that's the idea behind using current music, but that's kind of what I took. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what I took from it. But other than that, I think it's a good show so far. They're doing it. They're dropping it every Sunday. I want to say at 9 p.m. on HBO Eastern. And yeah, we're going to be checking it out. And we're going to have a future show where we talk about it in more, the first episode in more in depth. Because I like talking about the first episodes. I think that it's okay to spoil those because it allows you to watch the rest of the season. And yeah, as opposed to spoiling the entire show or the entire series. Which we'll probably do anyways, but you know, this is just to kind of get you out there and kind of to check out this content.
We're gonna spoil stuff because if you guys didn't watch it yet, that's on you.
That we're gonna warn you, but I also think that it allows for more content too. We'll talk more later about that stuff. Moving on to some stuff that we've been hearing about or learning about as of late. Apparently. A lot of people have been doing a lot of bad things in Hollywood, and this shouldn't be, this shouldn't come to any surprise. The people might be a little surprising, depending on how versed you are with the news. For instance, Cuba Gooding Jr. Has been accused of at least 22 women of sexual assault. And this has been, like going all the way back to like 2009. And granted, that's when I think the first one was, like, the people who are coming forward now, that was the first incident that they're sharing, but I don't believe that's the first time it happened, just because of how many women are saying some of the same things, that he's, like, groping them in clubs or, forcefully touching and all this other stuff, and he's actually going to, I believe he has 7 counts of sexual abuse charges. He's pled not guilty to all of them. However, I mean, and that's, that's what they do, right? But what outside of the fact that it's a huge number, and I'm laughing, but I'm not. It's, you'll understand why in a sec. The outside of the fact that it's a big number of people that are accusing of these things that make me believe that he did it, it's also his lawyer's most recent claim that makes me believe that he did it, because they're grasping at straws. His lawyer, and I don't really need to name him because he doesn't matter. His lawyer said, or he claims that one of the women who accused Gooding of harassment has a blog that was talking about being self-conscious because she has small breasts. And, she talked about the things that she desires and all of the issues that she's, struggling with and all this other stuff. And somehow he came to the conclusion that women with small breasts tend to be delusional, and that's his case, in at least with this particular person. He asked the judge if they were going to talk to her about those things, and the judge was like, you want us to talk about her breast size? And he was like, yeah, because of A, B, and C. And it was hilarious hearing it, because that's your defense? Like, not that she's on medication, not that she's, she just wants money, the typical things that we hear. You can't even give us any of that crap. This is the thing that you kind of rest your case on?
Seriously.
Ludicrous. I can't even speak right now because of how silly it is. And I'm like I want it to be in the, like, if I could be just in the room and just like kind of like seeing everyone's face when he said it. And because everyone had the screw face. Like, are you serious?
Everyone.
Like, I can see, like, even if Granted, he probably talked to Cupid about it before, but like I can see him even being like, "Really, dog? That's what we going with? All right, then, I guess." Like,
Yeah. Okay, sure, I am.
that's what is wrong with people?
What is wrong with people? Honest.
I don't know.
Honest.
Gosh. I'm like, did you think that was gonna work?
He
Especially.
thought it was gonna work. He thought it. The judge straight up was like, so no.
Yeah.
They're like, you can do this later if it's relevant, but right now, no.
Right.
I am really confused. Not even confused, because at this point, he needs anything. He just needs to know what's gonna stick. Because
Right.
there's just no getting out of this. There's no getting out of this.
Right.
I am. I mean, and I don't even know where this who this guy is. Did you see the picture of that little lawyer? Where did you find him? He's just as bad as Trump's doctor.
Yeah, he I don't know. I mean, it's I don't know if they thought it was gonna be, in turn like a OJ where like, the glove doesn't fit, must acquit. Like, if she doesn't wear a B cup, she stuck up. I don't know. Like I don't know what the rhyme would have been, but
That
it
would have been
just it would have been bad, and I almost wanted the judge to like let him go along with it. Like
Yeah.
he's just gonna hang himself. Like let just yeah.
Yeah.
You ask these questions because the other lawyers are going to rip you apart for this nonsense.
Want to hear it. I do. I actually want to know where it's going. I want to know where it's going. I want to hear him say, you have breast envy, and because you have breast envy, you can't be trusted. And then people would be like, so what does that have to do with him accosting me in a bathroom? What does that have to do with me being at a party and him coming up and grabbing me and there's witnesses? What am I small what does me and my B cup have to do with anything? Like, should we take a recess while I go to Dr. Miami and come back with a double D? Will my testimony be different?
Right.
The man still assaulted me. Like, I don't know. At the end, this is just it's just nonsense. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
I don't know what he's thinking or what they're thinking, but the trial will be in September and we'll see what happens, happens there, but I don't have any it's easier to believe that he did these things than it is for certain other people. Because of what, the things that they're doing. Like there was no, I mean, it got obviously the number, right? But then also when you do things like this, it's like, what do you expect? Like no one's gonna believe you. Like I wouldn't even, I want to know, like, did you really think this was gonna fly? Or were you like, let's just put something out there. Like, we don't have anything just yet. And we have all these hearings we have to go through. Let's just throw something out. I got nothing. Because it looks bad. They have video of him doing certain things where, I mean, granted, you can put the alleged word there, but it looks bad,
Yeah. Is he
same.
a Scientologist? I'm not trying to knock Scientologists, but I just wanted to know.
I mean.
Like, and the reason I'm asking is he a Scientologist, because you know how a lot of people in Scientology, aka Tom Cruise, can get away with a lot of things because the way the Scientology is set up is like people who are high powered, like actors and stuff, people who are high ranking. Because they are the face of Scientology, they can get away with a lot of things. And so I'm just like, this might be a good time for him to convert to Scientology because whatever else is going on is not going to work. It would have been better if he had just come out and said, yeah, I did these things.
Yeah,
Like,
I had too much to drink or whatever.
yeah.
Like that would have been better. It would have still been damning, but at least you wouldn't look foolish too.
Yeah.
Like,
Just say I did these things. I'd be like, you know what? Yeah, there was this instance. I actually do remember this instance. I do not remember, but I believe it was likely because I know that I was intoxicated. And I don't even know. Like, it doesn't matter. But if he actually came out, he would have been one of the only ones, one of the only dudes out here who is being accused, who's actually like, yeah, I did these things.
yeah, and then or at the very least, just being quiet. That's the other, I guess, smart thing to do. Like if you're not gonna at least own up to it, then just be quiet. And and let, you know, whatever happens court-wise happen. You going on, you know, saying foolish things is just not going to be helpful in the long run, especially with everyone glued to their smartphones and you know, Twitter and whatever the case may be, where they're looking at all this stuff. You know, because depending on what was happening in the world at a different time, we probably wouldn't have had all this information.
Right.
Do we
We would be doing, we would be at work. We would be paying attention to other things in life, possibly, you know, definitely not distracted by the craziness that's going on because most people are still at home. Most people are still stuck inside. Most people are just on Instagram all day. I'm like, and come on, man. I'm over it. I'm over these dudes. I'm over the assaults. I'm so done with these guys. With these people.
Yeah, and it and you know, speaking of saying foolish things, Trey Songz was also accused recently of sexual misconduct, and he said something dumb as well.
Yeah, he did.
He was like, you know, when these things happen, or something to that effect, dot dot dot, you know, as to say that like, wait, this happens more than once? Like this is
Exactly.
an
Who
ongoing thing?
the hell? Like, how are you gonna say? How are you gonna put on your Twitter every time this happens? Be like, dude, wait, every time. Oh, okay, right, because this is a monthly event. It's on your calendar. It's on your Google Calendar. It's a Zoom meeting. Every time this happens, there's an invite. Is it a new chick every month? Is it a
Right.
weekly happening? What is, why is this happening more than once? And I'm not saying, you know what, like, he's allegedly being, you know, this is all alleged, but what I'm saying is, why are you being accused of this multiple times? Why is this happening multiple times? Like, if it happens once, you need to pull a Mike Pence. You need to not be in rooms alone with women anymore. I don't know what else to tell you. I just don't know because I'm just confused. As the attacker, as somebody who's accused of being the attacker, this is a different side of somebody who is a victim multiple times, okay? You can't just like, I'm not about this whole thing where people are like, oh, well, you know, you're a girl and you got attacked, so you know, don't go wearing short skirts next time. No, how about you stop grabbing me by the pussy?
Right, exactly.
I didn't do anything. I didn't force you to touch me. I was minding my own business. You're the one who decided to put your hands on me. You're the one who took my legs out from under me. Okay? This has nothing to, like, that is why I am Trey Songz. I don't even know what the hell is your problem. I don't know why that would be a thing every time this happens. Dude, you need Jesus. You need something. Something else needs to happen in your life. And everybody should have believed Keke Palmer in the first place.
Facts. She brought that up. I think it was 2017. They had the
Yeah.
pick up the phone video shoot or something like that, and she was saying that he was being intimidating and wouldn't let her, you know, like she was saying no. He was like, you know, whatever. And it was a bunch, and she was planning to take legal action. I'm not sure what happened, why she
She
didn't go.
did. She did. Yeah, it was settled or something like that. She said that it was handled because, like, it to make it not as big as it seems, like to make it a little bit more familiar. Like her issue was that she was in a strange predicament. It was a party. This was a party. A lot of people, they throw parties and then they film them. But this was a party, and she was at a party. Next thing she knows, he's telling her, and the crew is telling her this is gonna go in his video. And as soon as she was told that this was going in his video, that's when she was like, no. I'm not going to be in your music video, especially not like this. Like, you didn't ask me, you didn't call me over here to be in your music video. This is supposed to be a party. Now you're telling me that this is actually being filmed for a video. I'm already an actress. I'm already a singer. I'm already in the limelight. So why would you have me come over here and do this for free? A, where's my hair? Where's my makeup? Where's my team? Where's the contracts? Where's the shit that I'm supposed to be signing for you know, where's my shit, where's my royalties every time this shit gets played on MTV? No, none of that shit's being done right now. And all of a sudden you're telling me right when the cameras are in my face, you're telling me that I am being in this video. And then on top of it, being intimidating, sexually intimidating her. Like, come on, girl, you know you fine. Come on, girl, this, that, and the other. And being that way towards her when she's younger than him. And it's not okay. The fact that she had to hide in a closet. She had to hide. Because she was like, I need to leave. I'm getting out of here. Because you won't respect my wishes over and over and over again. You won't respect my wishes, so I'm leaving. And she had to hide in a closet just so she wouldn't get filmed anymore. She called an Uber.
See, that's rough. That's rough. There's another accusation where he, I guess back in 2018, where someone accused him, a woman accused him of punching her and choking her and later throwing her phones away when she tried to leave. And that one also was dropped, I believe, even though they filed a lawsuit against him for domestic violence in August. But that was dropped in September of last year. And granted, a lot of times when that happens, it could be because of intimidation. This person has a ton of money. He's going to put out some information that you don't want out there. They might settle it in court. There's a lot of things. So, like, I don't want people to think, like, because things were dropped or people didn't go through with legal action that nothing happened. A lot of times there's other reasons. Usually some form of intimidation or is something that even when there's like a slam dunk, like we know exactly what happened. We can prove what happened. There's plenty of reasons why women don't come up or, you know, say anything. And a lot of it has to do with the person's popularity, how their fans, I'm sure. We don't have to go far. You look at R. Kelly and all the stuff that he was able to do over the years, mainly because of his fans. What did D.L. Hughley say? He would say something to the effect of people forgot all about the case and, you know, that he, you know, urinated on a young girl because he made, you know, I Believe I Can Fly or whatever the case may be. Yep. It's like, fam, like, first of all, his music's not all that. I will say it. But it's definitely not enough to give a pass for all the negative stuff that he's doing.
Exactly.
Same thing with Trey Songz. And, you know, Cuban, you know, his movies that he's in, none of that stuff is worth it. It's really not. For him to be in a position of power and to abuse that power over and over, like seemingly over and over, because it's a constant thing. Like, no one's learning from it. Like, if someone accused me of anything, and we were talking about this off air, you know, I would just be at home. Like, I am, if you didn't do anything, and let's say the person was trying to get money, whatever the case may be, which is rare. But let's say it did happen, I would just be at home. I would go do my job, and then I would come straight back home. I wouldn't go out to see anyone. It would only be my friends, and that would be it. Like, I'm not putting myself in a position, and it's not to say that you can't live, but it's the idea that why would you continue to put yourself in positions that this can happen then? Mm-hmm. At some point, I'm going to be like, you know what? Yeah, I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
Yeah.
People need to get together. Hopefully, if there is any justice, if these things did happen, then all of them can go to jail, receive some type of counseling, hopefully get help, become a better person. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, things can happen. People can heal, et cetera, et cetera. We can stop these things from happening. Like, hopefully some good comes of it, comes from it, other than just the status, you know, the same old stuff.
Right.
With that being said, we're moving on to I May Destroy You, which is an interesting show in the sense that I believe this is based on a true story or has some truth to it in terms of the main character. This is written by, how do you say her name again?
Michaela Cole. I just love saying that over and over again that I met her. I don't have pics to prove it because she doesn't like taking pictures with people, especially when she's on vacation, which is when I met her. We were both in Ghana at the same time and
nice.
We ended up at the same hotel. And I was like, oh my God, that's her. And I was gagging. She was like, and I love her boundaries because she's like, I'm kind of weird. She told me, she's like, I'm really awkward and I don't take pictures when I'm at home. Like, I'm at home and I don't take pictures when I'm on vacation. So, but I'd love to give you a hug. I could give, and I was like, who do you know? What kind of famous person do you know that's like, I'll hug you? instead of taking a picture. Most people would be like, yeah, just take the goddamn picture. No, she's like, I'll give you a hug. So I'm really weird. I'm really awkward. And I was like, I'm weird too. Like, weird together. She's like, yeah, we'll be weird together. I was like, but we're together, but not. Like, I actually said that to her. I was like, yeah, you know, we're together, but not. Like, we're together apart. And she's like, she just laughed. She's like, yeah, I really like that. So it's just like, you're the best. I love her.
That's dope. Well, yeah, she has a show that Netflix kind of fumbled because she has two previous shows on Netflix. One was Chewing Gum, which is, you know, great.
And show.
She wanted to get I May Destroy You onto Netflix, and they wouldn't give her the rights to the show. They wanted like I don't think they would even give her 10% or something like that. And so she took it to HBO and I think BBC, I think I'm saying that right. And they gave her more than that, like way more. And now the show is doing extremely well. It already finished in the UK and it's going to be finishing on HBO soon. But the show, while like great in terms of acting and it's well written, she actually plays the main character. The content of the show might be a little much for some. Because it's basically depicting someone getting through a survivor of rape, I guess you could say, where like they are raped in a nightclub, and afterwards they kind of like putting the pieces together in terms of what happened and basically dealing with life, because when it happens, she's in the middle of writing a book and getting it published by a really big publisher. And so it's kind of like turned her life upside down, because now there's all these things that are coming up in terms of unhealthy relationships that she was either in or about to get in, and how they reflect on previous trauma. And it's in one example is that one of the people that she's with does something that constitutes rape as well, but I guess to a different degree. And because she's already, you know, she's going to therapy and things of that nature, she's already on alert. And so when she learns about it at first, she kind of sweeps it under the rug. But then she hears commentary about how that's also considered rape. She kind of goes out of her way to kind of like make sure that person knows that what they did was wrong. But beyond that, it's detailing her life and the struggle of having this happen to you and how people may or may not be able to reconcile, in the sense that like her friends are trying to help her out, but they don't fully understand. There's a little bit of guilt in terms of like, you know, like we were with her that night, but we're not with her now. Like what happened in between? And, you know, there's a lot, it's a lot. So it can be triggering in that sense, if this is something that you've experienced or know someone who has experienced. On the other side, though, it makes for it's hard to say entertainment. It makes for interesting and compelling content where you can have these discussions because it didn't happen to you. Or someone it did happen to, they can have these discussions because she's having the discussion. Like, you know, in an empowering sense, because there are things that happen where we see the ups and downs, if you will. I don't want to, because I've seen most of the season, so I don't. there's things that are flashing in my head that I want to say, but then I don't, because we're sticking to the first episode. But yeah, there's a lot that goes on throughout the season that has to deal with this subject. Mm-hmm. And so you actually just saw the episode not too long ago, the first episode.
Yeah.
What were some of your thoughts?
Well, I was just completely discombobulated because, you know, there's a lot to expect when you're dealing with a Michaela Cole story.
Right.
So I, you know, I just clear my brain and allow it to accept everything. And, you know, right at the point where, like, just backstory for everybody. This is a girl who's a writer, and it starts off with her on, I'm putting up air quotes, vacation in Italy. She's supposed to be writing. Her publishers gave her money so that she could go clear her head and go write. You know, if you're in the business and you write well and you've already had a bestseller out or something, people will pay you up front And if you do your best writing, you know, somewhere else, they'll pay for that. So she's abroad and she's writing, but you know, she's not writing. She's hanging out with a dude that is like kind of her boyfriend. Okay. She's not doing what she's supposed to be doing. And so when she comes back and she has a deadline and she hasn't actually done any work, she hasn't actually written anything. She's kind of BSing. And she's like, I have a deadline. I got to do this. And instead of like actually working, she's like, I'll give myself an hour. She's an hour timer on her phone and goes out with her like cousin or whoever. And it's like, hey, you know, come out, blah, 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 blah. And so she goes out and they go to a bar and they're having a good time. And what's kind of funny is like, as soon as she runs into her cuz, like, he's like, oh, here, you want some Coke? Like, puts a little bump of Coke on his hand, right? You catch that. When they are actually in the bar having a good time and she asks him who this girl is, because he's clearly cheating on his wife, if the girl that was supposed to be the third person in their threesome with him, his wife, and the wife ended up going home because he fooled her into believing that, you know, the girl had something else to do. So he's just out with the girl. Wait, it's so messed up.
Can we pause that for a second? What is going on? I was so confused when I saw that because I was like, why would you go through all this trouble?
Exactly. I really, really, really need to understand because, like, you know what? I'm not married and I have my own issues with half the dudes that I've ever dated. And all of them were pieces of shit. And they are. Okay. And this just takes the cake because it is apparently the wife's idea to get a third, you know, to get a woman, you know, she's into it. She's like, yeah, I think this will be great. I think we should have a threesome. But you know, this episode, you get the information that the husband's really not that pressed and the wife is super into it. Like it's her idea. But now when you realize at the end of the episode that he is totally with this girl, like this is his girlfriend, this is his side piece, you kind of start to think back and like, was this really the wife's idea? It almost makes me think like this was a seed that was planted a long time ago. And I don't know, that's me speculating because now that I've gone through life and I'm at this point in time, these gaslighting motherfuckers have been doing this shit since the dawn of time. And so I wouldn't doubt that they've been together for 8 years. He could have planted that seed in her head in year one. All right. And here we are year eight in their marriage. And she's like, yes, I'm totally into this. Like, I mean, he's going through the dating app like, hey, this is the girl. And she's like, oh, she's hot. She's this, she's that. Da, 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 this is going to be so great. And he's pretending that he's not into it. He's just like, you're the one who made me put the app on my phone. I'm not really into this. Da, 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 da. And then they go out, they meet the girl, and you know, she's paying so much attention to the wife, and they seem like they're hitting it off. Like the wife, actually, she seems like she has a little bit of anxiety about this whole situation. But you know, they're hitting it off, and then the girl gets on, like, let's be honest, the girl that they met, she didn't even seem that she was that into the husband. She just seemed to be paying more attention to the wife in general. And and then her phone rings and she's like, I have to go. My mom's sick. I thought that was the lamest excuse to leave a date. Like, if you had said your mom's in the hospital, I understand. But you're like, oh, my mom's not feeling well. I got to go. I was like, wait, what? I just thought that was awkward.
Well, it's more so because it's like, he's like, you know, he set that up to happen.
Exactly.
He set it up so that she would leave and then would go out with his friend who was visiting. And then he would meet back up with the girl later. But I'm like, if that's why don't you just go through with it with your wife? I don't understand.
Which is clearly what he didn't want to do. And that's why, and you know, after you watch the first episode, you're just like, what was the whole purpose of fucking with her brain like that? Because the girl, the side piece, is all into the boy. Like, she has no intention of having anything going on with the wife after you realize it. Like,
yeah, so that was such a weird thing to do. Like, it was like,
what I truly do believe is that he probably was already hollering at this chick, told her to get on the app because his wife brought this up. He finds her. I mean, like, you know, she's on the app. He knows that his wife would already be okay with it, with this girl, because he's okay with it, because he picked her, and then sets up this whole thing. So the truth is, if she ever does catch them together, then she'll know that, oh, this is the girl from the app, and we met each other already. And maybe they're not sleeping together. Maybe they just ran into each other. Maybe they're just getting to know each other. It works. And that's why I understand it. But my point is, when you go through something that detailed, you are a low down, greasy ass motherfucker. Like, and I have no problem saying it so easily. It just rolled off my tongue. Because that's some gaslighting bullshit. That's some shit where the wife is going to eventually think that she's crazy. Right. And that's not okay. And that, like, let's take it back to Issa Rae's show. Remember Dro and Candace?
Right.
And they had an open relationship and they agreed to it and they were happy with it. Look, they ended up having a kid. Like, they're happy with their open marriage. And as long as they are honest and they talk to each other about it, as long as we are honest about who we are seeing, we are fine. And the fact that he started seeing Molly, and Molly was a friend of his, and she was a friend of Candace's, that's weird as hell. But Candace and Molly were able to kind of get past that. Well, even Candace and Molly were talking to each other, and it was like, this is weird.
Well, wait, did they? Because I never got the impression that they were. It was almost like in limbo of whether or not they were actually had an open relationship, because he would always hide her. Like, he would be like, you know, they went into the bathroom, and then he would come out and be like, all right, you wait a little bit and then I'll come out. Like, if it's open, then it should be, it wouldn't be a thing. But he kept.
Yeah, I thought that was weird too.
Right. Like, I don't know. It could have been something he told her just for it to happen. But he made sure there was no communication between them. So it was like, really, like, do you have an open relationship? Like, I don't know.
I thought that was weird, because remember the part where they were both talking to it? She was like, this is weird. When Candace said that, and Candace was like, this is really weird. And Molly's like, yeah, it is. Like, it seemed as if Candace, why otherwise would it be weird? Because Candace and Molly know each other at college together, right? Wasn't that the thing?
I don't know if, like, it was that, because I think the whole setup was weird with them being there, because they hadn't, for a while, they hadn't seen each other. And then they were coming back in town, and I have to go watch it again. But anyways, the gaslighting is the point.
Exactly. And I'm over it. Like, that whole setup was just fucked up. Especially just him pretending like he wasn't into it the whole time, just kind of being like, oh yeah, I'm just here to see if you guys hit it off, if you guys like each other. And then, of course, the wife not wanting to hang out with his friend was just like, yeah, I'm going to go home because you guys are, like, on your phones. There's no real point for me to be here anymore. Deuces. And she goes home. And then next thing you know, they're like, okay, party time. So, all right. So we've discussed this. That's how he is. He is cheating on his wife with this girl. And then they run into Michaela Cole's character, who's Arabella on the show. And so, like I said, you know, she does the bump of coke off his hand. And then when they get to the table and they're passing the shots around, like shots of tequila, remember, he like motions to her again. Do you want to take another bump of coke? He doesn't use words. And that's how I was like, this is where the acting got, like, this is good. It's like some the way he motions to her about, like, do you want to take another bump of coke? And then she goes, no, I have to work. Like, she says it really kind of, it's almost like a side conversation that's happening. But she's like, I have to work. And he's like, okay. And then they take their shots. So between the time that they take their shots, they're dancing and having a good time. And then she is at the table. Like, she's just, not the table, sorry, the bar. And she's, like, gone. There's nothing in her eyes. Her eyes are glossed over.
Right.
And then she's falling out of her chair. And then you see the people looking at her like, oh, she's drunk. And that's where it was just like, okay, we just saw her dancing and having a good time. So the fact that she was falling over didn't make any sense, because she just said she wasn't going to do a line of coke because she had to go back to work. She had her timer on. So what would she have done to herself, knowing she has a deadline, she needs to be ready at like 6 a.m., that she would have been falling down crazy like this? So right then, in my own heart, I was like, motherfucker, some scopolamined her. Like, that's where I kind of got like this feeling in my chest, and I was not okay about that. And then the comedy of it is her at the office the next day, and then being like, what the hell is this? Like, what did you actually write? And she's like, I don't know.
The thing is, what's crazy about that is she actually wrote something that was good, because they wanted to hear more, but she didn't actually read it. Like, she was so messed up that it was like, it just kind of came out, and then that, you know, that's where she was with it, which is, there's some really crazy stuff that happens later on, but like, the fact that she is a good writer, like, she can write well, but there was a whole craziness happened the previous night, and she can't remember anything.
Yeah.
And still it was able to make it. So that's where, you know, some of the funny, I guess, kind of comes in. But then going backwards, though, because she starts to have flashbacks of what happened, that's when the more serious side of things. Because if you didn't know what the show was about, you would think like, oh, she just got blacked out because she was partying too hard. And, you know, she finally made her deadline. And it's, you know, the show is kind of depicting a someone that's ruining their chances at something. But what you find out, though, is that her friends end up leaving, and or either she walks out by herself, because the guy goes on to say that the guy who was cheating on the wife was like, you know, I took you home. And you find out that he didn't. Like, you know, she's like, you know, where was I? You know, did I go? Because she looks at her phone and she's like, well, I was over here and I went to the ATM at this place, but I don't remember actually, like, did I take out money for, Uber or whatever? And he's like, yeah, I dropped you off over here, and then you got an Uber, and then you went home. So she's like, oh, okay. So, like, she's seeing flashes of things that's happening, but she doesn't understand if it's, like, a dream, or did she witness, because what she thinks is she witnessed someone that was hurt, and someone was trying to help the person up. But then her friend starts to notice that her story, the way it sounds, it sounds sketchy. So they, and I might not be doing this in order. Like I said, I have a whole series in my head. They go to the police, and the police are like, the person that you saw helping someone, were you seeing them from, like, were you looking above at them, or were you looking down? And she's like, well, I guess above, like, they look really tall. And she's like, well, if I stand up, I kind of look tall, but I'm not. Like, we're the same height. So if you're at a lower position than me, then I look tall. And so things started to click after that. And you could kind of see, like, in her face how it's like, so what you're saying is that I was assaulted, even though I don't remember that happening. And so with the flashes that are happening, it's kind of like she doesn't want to believe that that's what happened. So it's kind of like, no, because such and such said he took me, you know, we met up over here, and you know what I mean? And so, like, there's a slow unwinding of reality that hits really, really hard. Like, I felt bad. Like, I felt like crap. And then I was like, where were your friends at? Like, there was so many things, things that, like, unpack there. I had to pause it, actually.
Yeah.
I had to be like, dang, like, all right, so we're first episode, we're going there. Okay. And, you know, kind of went from there. It doesn't get any easier from there.
There's a lot to look forward to.
But like I said, in the sense that this is Arabella's journey. So, you know, eventually we get to support groups, we get to, you know, better recognizing certain things. We get to her, stop using, drugs. So there's things that are up, right? But there's a lot of low too. I really liked how, and this was kind of bad, her friend, that was the this is the actress, or like she wants to be an actress. I think she's like an IG model who's done like a commercial or so. She is with her most of the time. And she is played by Terry Pratchard. I don't want to say her name because I think I don't want to mess it up, but she's also a good actress. And they are so, really, really tight. And when she learns about what happens, she has a like a split, like it affects her emotionally as well, not just because she's her friend, but because it's similar to something that happened before. And I'm not going to go into too much of that because I said I don't want to spoil things, but there's the idea of like, I wasn't with her when things were going down, and so I couldn't help her. And so there's a sense of like guilt there, but then there's also she wants to be there to help. So it's difficult to be there to help because she feels guilty. And so there's, at moments, I don't want to say she's lashing out at Arabella, but she's kind of like depending on the line of conversation, she wants to stop it. Like, let's talk about something else. But then on the same token, she's trying to be there for her friend and kind of work through. So she's like reading all these self-help things, like, okay, step one is, admitting blah blah blah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she wants to be there to help. And so that's an interesting dynamic because in a sense, we're not in her shoes as the audience, onlooking, but we kind of feel that way as well because it's like, dang, like nobody was there to help. And so we want to be there for Arabella, but then we don't want to be there when things aren't, I don't want to say awkward, when things are more difficult. It's hard to sit. It's hard to be like, we're just gonna watch TV today. We're not gonna think about anything else. Cause you're angry. You know what I mean? Like there's a part where you're like, I want to do something more, but you can't. And so there's interesting juxtaposition between her and the audience where we kind of there's a mesh there, even though we're in a totally different position because of her proximity to Arabella before this happens. Which is very well written. Like that's a hard thing to pull off, being that for the audience to kind of feel or to empathize with a character who isn't the main character, like
Yeah, exactly.
in
Yeah,
this
I hear
sense.
you. Yeah, I know. I need to keep watching. It's gonna take me a while because it's probably gonna be really triggering, and I'm gonna have to like stop.
Yeah, the yeah, it yeah. Especially the which is crazy because they go really far really quick. The second episode is difficult, I will say. But like I said, that's not to discourage anyone from watching. It's just like a kind of like a warning, like a stamp there, like, hey, watch this, don't binge this. This is not a bingeable show. In that sense. That said, there are some ups in terms of, her with her book and things that she's doing with her friends and how they are able to work through a lot of things. And there's also some racial things that kind of play a part, and with certain characters who've experienced abuse and things of that nature, and how they decided to deal, and how that affects Arabella in different ways. And there's this, you also get to see a kind of a, you know how they have like different stages of grief? You kind of have different stages here as well, where she kind of goes from like everything is like being swallowed up by stuff to being overly positive to being, kind of like a mouthpiece for people who have been in the same situation and the effect that that has on the people around her without, without even knowing it. Very interesting, well-written content. And from what I've read, a lot of people who have either been in that same position or have been in, have known someone who's been in that position has found something to pull from the show. Because even though it shows the bad stuff, it also shows someone working through it. And that's hopeful. Because I believe Like I said, it's based on a true story. I believe this happened before she got the deal with Netflix. So, whereas her character, in this story is writing a book, this but she was writing, getting ready to write a show. And so, it's from her stance, it's also been kind of therapeutic in a scary way. And scary because it's open. Like it's, everything is on display for the most part. And so positives there, even though it's the subject matter is yeah.
Yeah, that's a it's a hard topic, and it's but it's almost as if being therapeutic for her, and then like the whole purpose is being therapeutic for other people.
Right. So, with that said, check out her show if you, again with everything that we said, because it is a good show, and if she can win awards and all that good stuff, I'm always down for black content creators doing the most. Like we said, previous show, how Issa and Co were nominated for 8 Emmys. I'm looking forward to everybody. What did she say? I'm always
I'm
voting
voting for
black.
everybody black.
Exactly. And the show is good. Same thing with Lovecraft Country. It's HBO is racking up in that sense. They are doing a good job with whoever is seeking out the content, and apparently the contracts are good based on what we're speaking, with this show coming to HBO. They're doing well by black people and are putting them front and center before all of the craziness of this year, right? Like, it's not something that they're doing reactionary, where like something bad had to happen before we for people got an opportunity. It's like no, like she is, we gave you opportunity before this happened. So
I said, we've been about this. We're Ben and Jerry's.
Ben and Jerry's
We've
of content.
been about this life. What y'all been doing? Do you remember that episode? I think it was Colbert was like interviewing Trevor Noah or
Oh,
something.
yeah.
And he was like, where were you during the marches? Where were you in the March on Washington? Trevor Noah was like, oh, and then Colbert was like, I was there. And Trevor Noah was like, yeah, I wasn't born yet. He's like, that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse. What have you done for anti-racism? I was there. Trevor's like, I grew up in apartheid. He's like, so?
But yeah, check out her other stuff. Like I said, she did chewing gum. She's also, excuse me, been on other Netflix shows like Black Mirror, and Black Earth Rising, and a bunch of other things. So definitely check out all of her content, as well as Issa's content, as well as whoever,
Everybody black.
exactly. Oh, last thing I wanted to say before we kind of go was Netflix had a recently had a bit of a controversy with a, I believe it was a French film that deals
Oh,
with,
please.
yes, cuties. So there was a petition for to get Netflix, because Netflix is notorious for like really bad descriptions for movies, and just the way they market stuff sometimes just doesn't make any sense. And so there was a petition that went around that was talking about how Netflix is basically sexualizing young girls, and we want them to take the movie down and all this other stuff. Come to find out that the movie is a French film that won at the Sundance Film
How do you feel about
Festival
that? Because I
about the original film, or like the controversy with Netflix.
the controversy, like because I just saw the preview the other day when I had Netflix on, and I honestly the way the preview starts, actually I think I saw it on my phone. The way the preview starts, I was like, what the hell am I like, what's going on? And then you realize what it's about, and you're like,
Right.
oh, okay, I get, it was just the way it started. The way the preview started, it made it look like this little girl was like watching these other girls, and it was like, she want, oh, I want to be like them. But it was like, they honestly, I was like, wait, where are they dancing? It was almost like it was like these little girls were dancing at a freak show, like at a little right. strip show for little girls. And it looked really bad. I was like, so the thing is, I knew it was French. I heard them speaking. So I knew it was a French film. And I have seen some French films, like back in the day when Netflix used to give out discs. And so I'm used to French films being really, really risque. So it didn't startle me because it was French, but it startled me because they were so young. They were young. It wasn't even like, oh, okay, this is some like 14-year-olds. Like, no, these girls look like they're 9. So I was like, whoa, right. whoa, what's actually happening? And I got really irritated. I was like, what the? And then I watched the preview all the way through. And I was like, by the time I got to the end, I was like, oh, okay, you know what? It's fine. It's just whoever the producer was in post-production put together this reel and made it look a certain type of way. They really need to fix that.
Well, and it's also the poster that they had. If you look at the French poster, it has the girls like walking up a hill with like bags of clothing and stuff, you know, basically being 11-year-olds. And the other poster, the Netflix poster, has them in, you know, more provocative poses, like really, really short, like short shorts, and some of them are twerking. Yeah. And it's like, this is all horrible, right? And so when I was looking at it, I was like, well, okay, what is going on here? Is it just Netflix screwed everything up? Or is does the movie, because a lot of people are calling for the movie to be taken down before even watching it.
Right.
And so my take was, as a father of, you know, daughters, and a son, was that I was like, is this something that's like the old kids movie with Rosario Dawson and I forget the name of the actress, but like
kids.
They were showing how, there you go, where they were showing like all this crazy stuff, in the sense, though, I believe they were older. Like they weren't playing their ages. They were older people playing younger people, I believe.
Yes.
I have to double check. So, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. But like there was a lot of controversy there because it was like, you know, there's kids and they're doing a whole lot of explicit stuff, like smoking and drinking and all this other stuff.
And having sex.
Exactly. And there's, because the whole thing about, you know, rape culture and all this other stuff. So, but in that sense, that movie is also seen as like a big deal because it shows things that people didn't want to talk about. And it shows how, you know, younger people may view things that, you know, you need to talk to your teens, essentially. Is that the same thing? And when reading the information or the stuff that I got from the film, I found out that it was directed by, I believe, a black woman. And it was written to show how young people can be sexualized at an early age. It was showing how difficult it is to be 11 and how people don't necessarily, how people don't react well to these things. Like when you see like a little girl sees a video of like Beyonce or something, and then they go emulate that, and then people losing their minds as opposed to having a conversation like, hey, you're too young for this. They kind of go the overboard. And so in the trailers that I saw, it was like, she saw something, she got with her friends, was doing something inappropriate. The parents and whatnot were like super upset with her. And instead of having a conversation, was more like, you know, like she got slapped in the face in one episode or one part of the trailer. And it was like, and so she rebelled. She steals money. And it's like, there's a lesson here somewhere.
That's not about right.
Right. Exactly. there's a lesson here. But I think that something that might have been, and granted, that doesn't mean that the depiction is 100% okay. Like, even with showing these things and you have a point, you know, there's like a balance, if you will. And there's going to be people like myself who don't want to see 11-year-olds twerking ever. So
yeah.
I get that. On the flip side,
I definitely did that
right
when I was 11.
With with Netflix, you know, with Netflix, handling, like horrible handling, nobody, like a lot of people don't want to see the film. They don't want the film on Netflix's streaming service. And so on one end, I'm like, you know, yeah, Netflix screwed up a lot. But at the same time, I'm like, is it something that we should take, like, we should have taken down? I don't know. I haven't seen it. I don't know if I'm going to see it, but I don't know. And one of the things that gave me pause was a woman, a black woman on Twitter. I'm not gonna say her name because I don't want people to go, like, if you feel a way, I don't want people to go at her. But she was like, she doesn't like how, no, she said, and I'm paraphrasing, I found it interesting how a film, a piece of art can come about to show how bad these things can be with, you know, women at a young age, so much so that the art itself is deemed worse than what's actually happening. And so we can't have the art. And I was like, you know what? That's interesting because a lot of people who were like, we don't want to see this, we don't want to see this, take this down, also weren't trying to hear anyone, any of the women, talk about how I remember being 11. I remember doing some of these things and how, like, if I go outside, I was getting catcalls from dudes and all this other stuff, and like how crazy that time of life was, and how maybe if something like this was on Netflix, that we would be able to come up, we would have these conversations. Because right now, what's happening is there's no conversation that's happening that isn't, should we have the movie or not? Like, what's in the movie that's happening is actually happening. And a lot of women are like, I went through that. I would like to see the film, and I would like people to speak about these things so it can be open. We can be open about it. Because a lot of people, when I was reading on Twitter, they were like, I didn't talk about it. Like, it was like these things happened, and it was like either, like, you know, it was my fault because I wore, you know, short shorts and people thought I was fast, or, you know what I mean? Like, there was no open dialogue there, and because of it, they got shut down. And so when she wrote that on Twitter, I was like, that makes sense. Like, the reason why I was winning awards was because it was showing a controversial topic in a way that makes you pause. And it makes you go, you know what? I need to talk to my kids about A, B, and C. And unfortunately, you know, maybe in France, you know, things are depicted better or differently. I'm not going to say better, but differently, to where they would allow certain things to be filmed so people can get to the root of whatever, similar to kids. But I totally understand why parents don't want to see that on Netflix too. And I think it's unfortunate that Netflix's handling of it was so poor that we can't even have the discussion. I would rather we have the discussion after people saw the film and were like, you know what? This is in poor taste. I get what they were trying to do. I don't want it on Netflix. Versus no one's even seen the movie yet. And they're like, we want it. You know what I mean? Which is rather unfortunate.
I agree. I mean, I wasn't really interested in watching it because I don't feel like the story is new. I don't think this is new story. Like, is it a bunch of little girls probably want to watch it and be like, yay, okay, fine, great. Especially if your kids love watching foreign films, because I'm all for that. But I saw the preview and I wasn't pressed on watching it like I probably would have been when I was younger, because I loved watching foreign language films. But I'm like, this story is not new. The story has been done 100,000 times. And so it would be one of those movies that would happen to be playing on international channel, and I ended up changing the channel to that, and then I sat through it and watched it because I didn't have anything else to do that day. The only issue that I feel, or what I feel the issue actually is that preview is bad. The preview is bad. Like, if whoever in post-production could have just made a better, just give you a better teaser. That wasn't a good one at
And
all.
a
It
better
was bad.
description. Like, that description was horrible. Like, oh my gosh.
I didn't even read the description. I just saw the goddamn teaser. I just and I was like, what the fuck? 2 seconds in, I was like, what is going on? What are these little girls doing? And then I realized what I was like, oh, okay. Sorry, that the first 5 seconds or the first 10 seconds had me looking sideways. And it was fine after, where I was like, okay, I get it. I get it. You know, little girl wants, she's awesome girl, dance. They, you know, these girls want to dance, and they're doing whatever they can to make it happen. And whatever. Okay, you know, they're gonna be a little dance. And the thing is, for real, for real. The thing is, they're 11 years old. They're doing whatever dances. They're not the first ones. there are dance troupes all over this country, all over the world, who are doing the exact same things that they're doing. They're not out there on stripper poles. Like, they're not doing anything that hasn't happened yet. They're not. So I don't, like, I'm hearing all these people being so pissed off, and I'm like, but what is different than the girls who are on Bring It? The girls who are doing Majorette? What's different than the girls who are with those little dance troupes that are on America's Got Talent and X Factor? They're doing the same thing. It's the same shit. So what is different about this?
Well, I mean, it's also the how things are happening in the film. Because granted, like I said, a lot of people haven't seen it, and so it's based on the trailer. And you, like, having 11-year-olds twerk, because it's not even like this is a cheerleader competition, and, you know, there's a twerking routine in that. Like, it's not even one of those things. It's like, it just looks bad. It looks very bad from the jump. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, we don't get to see how this might relate to reality yet.
Right.
Because of how bad Netflix handled the things. Yeah. You know, like,
come on, Netflix. What's wrong with you?
And like I said, I totally understand trying to depict something with younger actors and it being a little too close to reality, where you're like, you know what? You know, I don't want to see that. Because that made me think of, like, and this is another discussion, we'll kind of end it here, but, like, growing up watching, like, horror films, and where the actresses are supposed to pretend to be younger people, so, like, in high school or whatever, and, you know, like Scream or whatever, like, they're in high school, but then they're doing adult things, and so it's a weird thing. It wasn't weird then because I was also in high school, but, like, now as an adult going backwards, it's like, am I looking, even though the actors and actresses are older, they're older than the roles that they're playing, it's like, am I looking at younger people doing wild and crazy stuff? Like, am I? That's a weird thing, and I didn't think about it until all this stuff was happening. It's like, huh. Because there's a lot of that happening right now in terms of, like, depicting things that are adult with child actors and not just the horror film stuff. It's a lot. And people will feel away, and I totally understand. So,
yeah.
That's it for our show. Because we've actually kept you a little bit longer. Actually, we're about the, an hour 22. So, yeah. Typical show length and whatnot, but we wanted to go ahead and cut it there before we, because we can go for a while, as you well know. Wanted to cut it there, but thank you for listening to the show and checking us out. Feel free to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you know when other content comes up. We have our Saturday night streams that happen every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern. We have UFG Plays, where we play just random games that don't work for the Saturday group activity. We have Uno Night, which actually hasn't gone up in a while because one of the hosts on there got sick. He's feeling a lot better, so we might be able to do that soon. We'll see. We also have content going up on the website, unitedfrontgaming.com. Different reviews. I'm reviewing Fall Guys. Awesome game. Definitely an awesome game. It reminds me of, like, was it the lava? Don't Step on the Lava. And Wipeout and other game shows like that. So that review will be going up soon. And yeah, we're going to continue to talk about anime, video games, and movies, and, you know, nerd stuff, because we like that. And
it's
hopefully
our show.
Exactly. And hopefully you enjoy. We do sprinkle in a little bit of real life in there as well, as you saw with this show and our Black Lives Matter episode. So yeah, be okay with that. And if not, oh well. That's cool.
Yeah.
It's like you said, it's our show. Because I know certain, you know, like, depending on your mental state, you might not want to hear certain things. But the whole point was for us to talk about things we wanted to talk about. So,
yeah.
And
we're black every day. So, I mean,
if it's not evident, by, you know, by the melanin, this is an everyday thing. So, but yeah, again, thanks for stopping by. We look forward to hearing about, you know, things that you like, things you didn't like. If you want to talk about a particular show, if you have artists or people that we should check out, especially if they're black, let us know and we will look into whatever content they have coming up. That's it for me.
That's it. Just remember, everybody, wear a mask, stay inside if you don't need to be outside, because people like me are outside. So if you don't need to be outside, stay inside. It's a great place to be. There's so many things to discover when you're inside. Like, there's a lot. You probably didn't even know what was in the corner. You should probably figure it out. You have a lot of time. So my point is, stay inside, discover, daydream, do things inside. And also, just a little tidbit, I discovered that there's like this thing, if you work from home, other countries like Barbados and some European countries that are losing money because of tourism drops because of coronavirus are actually authorizing visas to Americans to actually go live in those countries for 6 months. And like, if you work from home. So one of the stories that I read today was actually about a Black man who's a teacher who's going to be living in Barbados for 6 months because he can do online teaching from home, you know? And so it's just something that I think is really cool. And so if you want to help the economies of some other countries that are basically tanking because of tourism, and you don't want to be in the US anymore because, you know, it kind of sucks here. It's a shithole country. by all means, go look into this getting a visa to one of these other countries that's allowing Americans to come and work from home for 6 months there. It'll be a great thing. And but don't forget to vote while you're there. So anyway, yeah, register to vote, do your mail-in ballot if you have to, wear a mask, be a good person, hashtag don't be a dick. We love you. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.